All right, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, page 1381, if you're using the black Bible under the seat in front of you. We're studying through Hebrews, chapter 11, a wonderful chapter in the Bible, the chapter on faith. And oh, how we need to understand and live by faith today. Amen? Lord, I thank you that your Spirit is in this place. Where we gather, where two or three gather, there you are, right there in the midst. And Lord, I'm so grateful for this body. I'm so grateful for all that you've done in this church and all that you're doing and will continue to do. And I pray that we would grow in our faith. Challenge us to become even more faithful. You've said that we cannot please you without faith. And that we must come to you every time, knowing that you exist and you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So, Lord, increase our faith this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How did we get here? How did the earth get here? How did the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the universe get here? Where did it all come from? That's one of the big questions in life, isn't it? In fact, it's probably one of the most important questions in life. And the Bible, as you know, gives us the answer. Look at verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. How did everything get here? God. There is a living God who created everything. That's the Bible's answer to the question of origins. And in fact, you really don't have to read too far into the Bible until you get to that answer. The opening words of Scripture in Genesis chapter 1 say, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." There is a God, he's real, and he created everything. And I want you to notice how strong that is affirmed in this verse. Notice it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." The worlds. This is not the familiar Greek word cosmos. Many of you have probably heard that as Bible students. Cosmos is used to speak of the worldly system, and it's also used to speak of planet Earth. That's not the word being used here. It's the Greek word ion, A-I-O-N, plural. The ions were framed by the word of God. And this is a word that speaks of absolutely everything in the entire universe. All space, all matter, all energy. This is a word that's used in the New Testament to even speak of time. Oftentimes it's translated ages. Think of that. God created time. That's a mind blower. From our perspective on time. You know, this always blew me away, even as a boy. The Bible tells us that God is eternal. He's without beginning and he's without end. And I've always tried to put that on a timeline. And you go to the infinity past, God was there. Then present, God is. Infinity future, God is there. And I used to always wonder as a kid, if God existed in the infinity in that direction, how do we ever get to the present? It blows your mind He lived forever and ever and ever that way. Well, that's the wrong way to think about it. What's really being said here, God existed before there was time. God created this whole concept, this dimension called time. And God's not beholden to time like you and I are. He's outside time. Everything that you can comprehend or not comprehend or think about in the universe, God has created. Everything out there in the heavenlies. And think of just how big the universe is, just what we know of it. We look at our solar system, and then we look at the Milky Way galaxy that's filled with billions of stars. Then you find out that there are billions of galaxies filled with billions of stars. Light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. 186,000 miles per second. So every year, roughly, light can travel 6 trillion miles a year. If you and I were to travel at the speed of light, it would take us 10 billion years to reach the farthest point we can see with a telescope. But this would still be far from the outermost limits of space. We can't fathom it. Can't even fathom it. God made it. Then, of course, God made this solar system. God made planet Earth. God made land and mountains and oceans and fish and birds and animals and humans. And God made all the stuff that matter is composed of. Think of it, all the molecules and the atoms and the electrons and the neutrons and the protons and the quarks, all of it. Everything in the universe God created. And notice it says in verse 3, the worlds were framed. Framed. In the Greek, katartizo, two Greek words, kata, meaning with, artizo, we get artistic, with adjustment is what the word means, with completeness. The meaning is to put something in its appropriate condition, to establish, to set up, to arrange, to prepare. The idea is God didn't just slap a universe out there, didn't just throw some material out there. He artistically designed it. He framed it. He put it all together. He thought it all up. That's what this word means. And of course, as you study the universe and what we can know about it, we see that there's incredible order, isn't there? You know that it's been designed with great thought, care, and order. The way the solar system works, the ecological system, everything that you study has order, particularly in the cells of life, in the human body, and in any living thing. Now, this is, it's only been like since the late 1800s that we discovered DNA. And it wasn't until a few years after that that it really began to understand what we had discovered. It's relatively new discovery under 100 years. DNA. DNA is the blueprint found in every living cell that describes, that causes what every living thing looks like and how it behaves for the rest of its life. DNA. You have 100 trillion cells in your body, and each of those cells, you have duplicate copies of your DNA. Now, you have 46 segments of DNA in every one of your 100 trillion cells. You got 23 from your mom, who was a female. You got 23 from your dad, who was a male. DNA contains the unique information that determines what you look like, much of your personality, and listen to this, how every cell in your body is to function throughout your life. If all the densely coded information were placed in typewritten form, it would completely fill the Grand Canyon 50 times. That's a lot. You know, before I became a pastor, I was a programmer. God's a programmer of the highest order. And then you find out that in every cell you have this thing called RNA, which is like the split of the DNA, and RNA will join to your DNA, get the instructions from the DNA, and then go out and build the appropriate proteins using these things called ribosomes, I think, which is how it makes all of your body act. The most highly efficient, complex factory on planet Earth is in your cell. God framed that. God ordered that. And you know, I love science. You know, I was an engineer before I became a pastor. And you know what? It's sad to me that science has kind of become over here and faith over here, when science, in my view, is something that helps us to discover the genius of God. The order of creation, everything, chemistry reveals the order of God. Physics, math, astrodynamics. You know, you have this force called thrust. You have this force called drag. You have this force called weight. And then you have this force called lift. God invented all of those. They're predictable. You know exactly how they work. In fact, we've come to learn how those work so that we can get airplanes to fly. Everything is ordered. And by the way, some of the greatest scientists in all of history were devout Christian men. Robert Boyle invented the first gas law. Leonard Euler, if you're a mathematician, you know him. He published more mathematics than any other single mathematician in history, devout Christian man. Michael Faraday discovered electromagnetic induction. Gregor Mendel, science of genetics. Isaac Newton, law of universal gravitation, laws of motion, invented calculus, built the first ever reflecting telescope, showed sunlight is made up of all the colors of the rainbow. That guy spent more time on Bible study than he did math and physics. Everything's framed. It's put together. God ordered it. Look at the last part of that verse. It says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Here the man of faith is 2,000 years ahead of the man of science. This was written 2,000 years ago, and the guy says, by faith we understand that all matter is made with invisible stuff. And of course we know that to be true. It speaks of everything that's made, all matter made by things that can't be seen with the naked eye, the proteins, right, the atom, the nucleus, the neutrons, protons, all of that. Invisible. You say, well, wait a minute, now we've seen that. We've seen those things. We see that they are visible. Yeah, but it took a microscope, and it wasn't until the 1600s that we ever saw the first living cell. And listen to this, the first electron microscope was invented in 1930, less than 100 years ago. It's only been recent in human history that we've seen these small things. And when you break down the atom, you enter into the area of energy, which is not material at all. So guess what? The further you get into science, the more you realize that everything is made out of that which cannot be seen, Everything is made out of energy. Scientists have been baffled. What holds the nucleus together? In the nucleus of an atom, you got proteins, protons and neutrons. Protons repel each other. They're positive charges, but they're held together. They're fixed. They won't let go. There's a force in each atom that keeps that in place. Today they call it the strong nuclear force. We can observe it, but we don't know why it's there. Gravity, we can observe it, but we don't know why it's there. God framed things that way. God holds things together. In fact, we're told of Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers." Listen, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Literally, in the hands of Jesus Christ, everything in creation is held together. Could that explain those forces? I ask you this. What if Jesus relaxed his grip for just a moment? You understand what's being said here? It's as strong as it can be affirmed in the Bible. God created all things. He framed it right down to the invisible pieces of creation. How did he do all this work? Verse 3, it says, "The worlds were framed by the word of God." How did this all come into place? God spoke it. God uttered. And so you go to the Genesis account of creation in Genesis chapter 1. First thing God says is, "Let there be light." And what happened? There was light. Day 2, "Let there be atmospheric waters and terrestrial waters, and let them be separated." And it was true. Day 3, "Let there be dry land and let there be vegetation." And it was done. Day 4, "Let there be the sun, the moon, the stars." It was done. Day 5, "Let there be creatures of sea and air." It was done. Day 6, "Let there be land animals." And that day climaxed when God created man in his own image, both male and female. God spoke it. There's a lot of debate among Christians as to what these days were in Genesis chapter 1. Are the actual 24 period days, or are these long ages? And a lot of Christians want to say that these days are long ages, and because they want to feel scientific like all the other scientific people. There is nothing in Genesis chapter 1 to suggest that it's nothing but a 24-hour literal day. And remember, when God gave the Sabbath law to his people, he said, "You'll work how many days? And on the seventh day," why? "Because I worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, I rested." Do you believe God's powerful enough to speak everything into existence in 6 days? I certainly do. He did it. And by the way, when God created all things, he created all things with the appearance of time. Remember, he's from outside time. With the appearance of maturity and age. Adam and Eve, for example, when they were created, were they fetuses? Babies? We ever see them grow? No, all indications that Adam and Eve were placed in the garden as full-grown, mature males and females. I believe this universe was created with an appearance of maturity and age. What an incredible verse this is. Now, as Christians, how do we know this to be true? How do you and I know this to be true? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You see that word, understand? We know. We're certain. By faith, we know. And I'm just going to be totally upfront with you and say something that you should know intuitively. Creationism takes faith. The idea that there's a God who created everything absolutely takes faith. And you want to know why? Because nobody was there when it all went down. Nobody was there. I wasn't there. You weren't there. Richard Dawkins, Mr. Evolutionary Atheist who wrote The God Delusion, wasn't there. Stephen Hawking wasn't there. High school student, listen very carefully to me. Your biology professor wasn't there. Your science teacher wasn't there. College student, listen. Your university professors weren't there. Nobody was there. So whatever your explanation is, it requires faith. And I submit to you that faith in a God who created all things is the best explanation. Okay, so you know that the mankind has its explanation. Mankind has come up with their explanation for origins. This theory of evolution, which is a theory presented as fact in school, the whole Big Bang theory, all of that. Let me just share a little bit of how their explanation goes. Around 13.7 billion years ago, and that's the latest number, give or take a few million, changes every year. Around 13.7 billion years ago, everything we know of was an infinitely small singularity, a point of infinite denseness and infinite heat. The universe at one time was less than 1 million billionth the size of a single atom. You got that? Everything at one point was a singular point of infinite heat. Guess what happened? It blew up. It blew up. The explosive expansion began, ballooning our universe outwards faster than the speed of light. And while all that expansion was taking place, this tremendous struggle between matter and antimatter took place, with only a little matter being left behind after a cosmic game of random musical chairs. The leftover matter coalesced into protons and neutrons and eventually assembled into hydrogen and helium nuclei. As time passed and matter cooled, more diverse kinds of particles began to form. They eventually condensed into the stars and galaxies of our present universe. Eventually, the Earth and our solar system was formed. And then on Earth, in all of the chemical soup that somehow appeared, life appeared. Bacteria formed on planet Earth 3.8 billion years ago, they say. Then more complex single-celled organisms. 2 billion years ago, eukaryotic cells are formed, cells with internal organs. They divide into three groups, which become the ancestors of our modern plants, fungi, and animals. And on it goes for millions of years, and you know how it goes. Bacteria, fish, land animals, birds, monkeys, and then you. than you. Your great-great-grandpa was a monkey. According to this theory, humans are a product of random processes and natural selection over billions and billions of years. As one evolutionist scientist says, humans arose rather as a fortuitous and contingent outcome of thousands of linked events, any one of which could have occurred differently and sent history on an alternate pathway that would have not led to consciousness. You're an accident. You're an animal. There's no God. I believe it takes a lot more faith to believe that. Okay, so let's talk about first cause. Our first cause is a God. What's the first cause of that? So you try to. Where did that little pin of light come? When you remember when the universe was all one little. Where did that come from? What caused the bang? So Richard Dawkins, Stephen Hawking, argues that this is one universe. There's actually a bunch of multiverses, and when another. I don't even really understand it, but when another multiverse touches another, it can create something called imaginary time, which can create these sorts of things. So for that guy, his God is imaginary time. Imaginary time from a different universe. That's what he puts his faith in. Richard Dawkins, if you haven't seen this movie, it came out years ago, Expelled, Ben Stein. He interviews Richard Dawkins, and they just get right down to the bottom. How did life happen on planet Earth? You tell me, how did that happen? What caused that? Richard Dawkins says he believed it was the seed of an alien that came from another place in this universe that's evolved and we haven't found yet. So for the brilliant Richard Dawkins, his God is an alien. His first cause is an alien. Life on Earth is either the result of random evolution or the work of a supernatural God. Which one? You weren't there, but you can do all your own observation. Which one do you choose to have faith in? I'm putting my faith in the living God of the Bible. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Romans chapter 1, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible says, you look at nature, you look at creation, and you are without excuse. Everyone should see that there's a God. That is the answer to one of the biggest questions in life. Where do we come from? There's other big questions. Why are we here? What's the purpose? And you know, the Bible has the answer to that. You're here to know God. To know the God that created you and made you. What's wrong with the human race? The Bible gives us the answer. We fell into sin. We've broken God's righteous laws. We're a sinful human race. That's why there's evil and wickedness, and that's the problem. Can a man, a woman, can a human being be saved? Yes, because we have a God who sent his only begotten son into the time domain, dropped him right onto planet Earth to die for the sins of the world and rise again that third day. Is there hope after this life? The Bible says, oh yeah. This life is small compared to eternity. Heaven is real. You place your faith in me and I'll take you there. And by the way, the Bible says that one day God is going to create a brand new heaven and earth. The God of the Bible made all things, and he made you. And he loves you. And he has a plan for your life that will blow you away now and for all of eternity. Have you ever wondered why man's explanation for origin dismisses God? And why all the pressure in college and all the academic, why? Because we have an enemy who doesn't want us to come to God. Satan wants people blind. You listen to me, college student, high school student. Satan wants you to believe the lie. Because if there's no God who created anything, then you're not accountable to him. And you can do whatever you want. And you can live actually like the animal that you are. We're not animals. We were created in the image of God. You know, I often think Satan and all of his demonic hordes, I see them in their boardroom. And they're giving high fives to one another. And they're laughing it up. They're saying, can you believe we got them to believe that they come from monkeys? And they're hooting it up. And they're saying, and we even got all the intellects to believe that. And the intellects to join forces on planet Earth to tell all the other people that they're stupid. Don't buy it. Amen? Amen. Don't you dare buy it. There's a God who created everything. And he loves you. And he has a plan for your life. Father, I pray that you would, knowing who you are, that we would live for you. You created all things. You're the creator, and you're the savior, and you're the lover of our soul. And I pray that you would greatly encourage your people here this morning, those watching online, those who will listen later. May our faith be big because you're big. Lord, we can trust you in all the particulars of our life. And Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not surrendered, bowed the knee. Lord, I pray for anyone who has not bowed the head before you. Do you believe in God? Do you know that he created all things? Do you know that at great cost he sent his son to die on a cross for your sins? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered? Have you told God, yep, you're God, I'm not? Save me, I need saving. Fall before him this morning. Humble yourself. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If that's you in the quietness of your heart, just let this be a cry of your heart, a silent prayer. Lord Jesus, I bow before you. I surrender my life. You're the Creator. I'm the sinner. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising again. Be my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to serve you the rest of my days. Fill my life with the meaning that you've always intended to fill my life with. And that purpose and that sense of satisfaction. Both now and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's